of this little fuzzball, and I'm trying to be manly walking this dog. And and here's what I have found really quick in, about this puppy. She goes where she wants to go when we walk. Now, if you guys have ever had dogs, you probably already knew this, right? I kind of already learned this from my kids, but I was just reminded again this week as I walked with the puppy. I have an idea. I have a goal, a destination at the end of the block. I'm going to walk there, and we're going to walk back because I know the little legs can't, you know, they're like this, you know, like 2 inches long. They can't go very fast. But she wants to go places. She wants to find the sewer water, and that's Waller in the sewer water. And I'm like, why? You know, I have clean water at home. She walks right by it. But I get to the sewer water, and it's like, oh. Now she has a little bug in her belly. We found that out from the vet. And I was just like, you know, it rained this week. And you know what rain does to dirt, right? And you have this beautiful white Maltese. And I'm walking down the sidewalk, and I'm like, you know, stay on the sidewalk, stay on the concrete. But where do they want to go? Oh. And she pounces, you know. And she doesn't like baths. We found that out too. But here's the thing about walking with Jesus. I wonder, as I was walking Lainey's, this dog, as I was walking Lainey, how many times have I been like Lainey? How many times has God, you know, said, hey, let's go for a walk. I'm like, okay. And he's got like all this great destination. And he says, I give living water. And what do? I'm like, oh, look, dirty, nasty water. Mud. Let me go waller in it. Today, we want to continue looking at Jesus walking with these two disciples and his patience with them and his revelation to them. And I just kind of had to thank God this week that, you know, thank you for giving me this picture. And I had to confess sometimes, I know I'm wallowing in some mud and you've got something better for me. Help me to be more obedient and walk with you. If you have your Bibles, turn back to Luke chapter 24. We're going to look at walking with Jesus. Last week, we talked about these disciples walking to Emmaus. Jesus pops in, starts walking with them, talking with them. And we talked about how we don't always recognize when Jesus is walking with us. And sometimes we let our attitude get in the way of seeing the truth, that their face was downtrodden, that they were just sad. Like, didn't you know what happened? They told him. And then finally we see as he explored the Old Testament and opened up the Old Testament to them, that this walk with Jesus was an ancient path. It's not something that just happened in AD 33. It's something that was way before, and it'll continue on for eternity. The walk with Jesus. So we pick up in Luke chapter 24, verse 28. So he's been walking with him. He's been opening the scriptures with him. And in verse 28, it says this, that as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going to go further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in and stayed with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true. The Lord has risen and he has appeared to Simon. Then the two told them what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Jesus has this strange habit of sometimes acting as though he is going to go on. I don't know, have you ever felt that way in life? You know, as I was walking this puppy this week, there was times I found out that if I just continue walking sometimes, she'll catch up. And I wonder when sometimes if Jesus does that with us. But I remember as a kid, you'd be in a public place like a shopping mall or at a grocery store, and something, you know, caught your attention, and you look up and your parents aren't right there. And you kind of catch up with them. Now, I think my mom would hide around the corner sometimes on purpose. But I got her, I just act like I didn't care. The whole time I was scared, like, where is she? When we're walking with Jesus, I wonder sometimes if he doesn't act, he's like, I'm going to go on a little further. When I read this, as they approached the village, we have to see that truth waits to be invited. They invited truth into their life. Verses 28 and 29, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going to go farther. But they urged him strongly. They invited him in. Reminded me of Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 is the story of Jesus walking on the water. One of the things that's interesting with Mark's version of this and his recount of the situation, it says that the disciples went on out. Jesus got away by himself and prayed for a while. And then about dawn, he wanted to catch up, so he takes a little stroll across the sea. And it had been a little stormy that night, and the guys are still rowing across. In Mark chapter 6, in verse 48, it says that shortly before dawn, he, Jesus, went to join the disciples walking on the lake. He was about to pass them, but one of the disciples recognizes him. And then Peter recognizes him. And he's like, Lord, if that's you, then call me out. We know that story, most of us. But I love that little phrase. I'm always fascinated by that. Just like right here, he's with the two disciples and he acts as though he's going to go on. Here's his disciples. He sees them struggling with the oars, trying to get across the lake. And he's walking. And it says that he was going to go by them, pass them by. But when they invited him into the boat, he came in. When these disciples invited him to come into the house, he came in. In Luke chapter 7, we read a story about how some Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, and it says that he went in and reclined at the table. Now, these are the men who have been challenging him, who have been confronting him, but he was invited in, and he came in to share truth with them. That's what truth does, doesn't it? If we invite it in, it will come in, but then it's our place to accept it or not. In the case of the disciples, they believed that it was him. Peter believed so much that he stepped out of the boat to go meet him. Peter's always jumping out of boats. He sees him on the shore, he jumps out and he swims in. Peter's always just ready to go. When the Pharisees, who didn't even like him, who criticized him, invite him, he still came. He still gave them opportunity to hear truth. Truth waits to be invited. It reminds me again of Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Many of us know this is a story of, it's a letter that Jesus is writing to the church. It's actually a very condemning story. He's telling the church, he says, I am on the outside, but behold, I knock. If you will open the door and invite me in, then I will sup with you, the old King James said. I will have dinner with you. I will hang out with you. If we want to modernize it, dude, we will chill. But you got to open the door. You have to invite me in. Jesus doesn't come busting in. Well, he gives us free will like that, doesn't he? I mean, all the way back with the Garden of Eden, all the way back with Adam and Eve. I invite you, Jesus, God said. I invite you to be in communion with me. I invite you to hang out with me. All you have to do is just don't do this one thing. Say yes to me. They didn't do it. They didn't invite Jesus in. They didn't invite God in. They invited falsehood. They invited Satan and his story. And they acted on that. God didn't force them. He let them still come into his relationship. And from time after time throughout the Old Testament, we read God coming and being a gentleman, being a guest, waiting to be invited. Think about Abraham and Sarah, that when God appears as a stranger, he comes to visit them and they invite him in. He could have just popped in, but he didn't. He waited. He had let them invite them in. God loves us so much. He wants us to come to the grips that we want him to be in. Aren't those the best relationships? Do we like relationships? Like, think about a work relationship where you're automatically partnered with somebody. Like, this is your coworker, right? You too will share this cubicle. Doesn't always work, does it? You too will share this office, this truck. Sometimes when you're forced like that, it just doesn't work. But man, what about those relationships when you decide to partner together? That's awesome, right? God is the same way. He's not going to force us to love him. He won't force us to accept his truth. He waits for us to invite him in. I love this thing. He was going to go on. He wanted to be on their terms. He's not going to force himself. But they're like, please come in. And he does. Next thing we see out of this is that he sits down, he has dinner with them, and he breaks bread, and it's revealed to them who he truly is. And I believe that this is that truth is revealed when we are in communion with Jesus. Truth is revealed when we are in communion with Jesus. It says that their eyes were open. Now, in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus says, if you hold on to my teachings, in other words, if you know his words, my words bring life, and they will give you truth, and the truth will set you free. It would be like, oh, wow. Why did I not see that before? Jesus is saying, if you bring in my teachings, if you bring me into your life, you're in communion with me, I will reveal new things to you. Truths will be open. Boy, we have this all the time. I still sometimes will read scripture, a passage that I've read 100 times, and I'm like, I never saw that. Have you ever experienced that? If not, read your Bible more, because it's in there. It's just like, wow. We are united with Christ. We are in communion with him. Now, in this particular sense, he actually broke bread, much like what he had done just a few days later earlier with his disciples. But I believe this. He's just saying this. It's communion. What was the communion? What was that last Passover meal about? Jesus is telling them, this was all symbolic about me. I will be broken. My blood will be shed. If you do this in remembrance of me, we come together. We are united. We are in communion together. So how are we united with Christ? Well, Paul writes about this in Galatians. In Galatians 2:20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but I now live with Christ. Christ lives in me. We are together. We are united. Paul goes on to say in Galatians 3:27, all of you believers were baptized into Christ. Baptized into Christ. And we now sit with Christ. Where is Christ now? With the Father. We are with him. Before Christ died, one of the last things that he prays to his dad. He says, Dad, I just pray that these guys get it. That they really get it. The things that I've taught them, the words that I gave them, that it sinks into them. And that they will be one just as you and I are one. and that they will be one with us. Boy, he loves that stuff. He's all about that. He wants us to be in communion with him. You know, those of us who have been married for a while, you start to finish out your spouse's sentences. You guys ever do that? Or you don't even have to talk sometimes. You ever been in that place where you just look at each other? It's always handy when the kids are in the room. You can just, but sometimes I get my signals messed up. I thought that was the time to go sign. I didn't know. That was just give me another drink sign. Okay. That's communion, right? We share a mind. We think alike. Well, Christ does the same thing for us. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says that for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us being saved, meaning those of us who have accepted Christ, it is the power of God. Our eyes are open. And Paul writes that we later on in Corinthians that we now share the mind of Christ. He wants to be in communion with us. And when we do, truth is revealed to us. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that we be not conformed to this world, but by the renewal of our mind, so we may know the good will of God. You want to know what God's thinking? As we submit ourselves to him, as we come in communion with him, his truth will be revealed. If I don't speak to my spouse, if I don't speak to my family, if I don't interact with them, and then I'm wondering, well, what are they thinking? What are they doing? What would they do? I won't know because I'm not in communion with them. But when we are, I know I can be someplace and I can tell you right now what they're thinking, what they're doing. God's the same way. He wants us to be in communion. Why? To reveal his truth to us. He wants to share it with us. In Proverbs, we read that he actually builds a house for it. Truth and wisdom builds a home, puts out a sign, advertises, yells on the street corner, hey, here it is. If you come here, you will get life. You will be renewed. But unfortunately, down the road, there's the world and all of its lies. And sometimes it looks shinier and glitzier, and advertising seems slicker, and people walk, instead of to the house of truth and wisdom, they walk to that. If you want to know truth, if you want to know what really is real in life, you have to be in communion with Jesus. It starts by being saved, starts by accepting him as the Lord and Savior, but then it goes by renewing of your mind, by turning yourself down and turning him up. Truth is revealed when we're in communion with Jesus. And then next we see that truth compels us to share with others. Verses 32 and 33, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road? And he opened the scriptures to us. So they got up and returned at once. Now listen. They're about 7 miles. We read that at the beginning of this passage last week. They're about 7 miles outside of Jerusalem. Now, for us, that's probably not a big deal. You hop in the car, it's like a 5-minute drive, depending on traffic. But we're talking about on foot, and they said that the evening is approaching. And so what happened at the evening time? Well, these guys called bandits would come out. Your grandma ever tell you nothing good happens after dark? Back in the day, that's where that comes from. There was people who traveled at night. They weren't doing something really good. Honorable people who traveled during the day, during the light, when it was safer. It was dangerous to travel at night. But they said, I can't wait till tomorrow. I've got to go back into town tonight. That's when it says it burned with them. It compelled them to face even danger. To go back and tell them, He is risen. We saw him. But Jeremiah had a situation like that back in Jeremiah chapter 20. He's contemplating. He's telling God, I am so sick and tired of being your prophet. I'm the only one here that ever does right. I'm the only one. No one is listening to me. But Jeremiah was a prophet to the nation of Israel in a time when they were in rebellion against God. When others would say, oh, look at the success of our finances. We must be in God's goodwill. And God's saying, no, this is all fake. It will collapse, I'm telling you. And Jeremiah had to bring that news to them. And people shunned him and made fun of him and mocked him, threatened him. And finally he'd had enough. And he tells God, he's like, I'm not going to say anything anymore. I'm tired of being your mouthpiece. But in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, he says this, but if I say I will not mention your word or speak your name, your word is like fire, a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. I cannot. Boy, wouldn't that be awesome to have that fire? You ever had good news? You ever had something that was just awesome and it just is in you and you just have to tell it, right? I know you guys do. I see your Facebook. Look at this burrito. Oh my gosh. Now don't get me wrong. When my daughter goes off and I've already had a couple of dances and we've taken pictures. Last night was prom night. If I saw one prom picture, I saw 1,000. You scroll through your, yeah, okay, prom. Why? Because it burned in those parents. They paid all that money for that dress. We want as many people as possible to see this. You know, Amy and I have this little 8x10. It's in a box somewhere of our prom. I mean, maybe 2 people saw it. It's not like I carry this 8x10 around. I'm going to bring it next week so you can see. Because I had this awesome perm wave, but anyway, that's it. In our life, there are things that just ignite in us. And that's what these disciples, it compelled them. They had to go share. That burning sensation in our hearts, I have to go. What does this look like? What could a picture of this look like? Because one of the things that I'm always like, that's awesome. But yeah, they were just hanging out with Jesus. Do you think that if Jesus came and hung out with me for the afternoon, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh, by the way, I'm Jesus. I'm like, what? And then he disappeared. I'm going to tell you right now, forget social media. Like, I'm getting one of those cars with, like, the bullhorn on the top. I'm like, I just met Jesus. Like, he was just at my house. We would blow, right? It would be burning in us. So how does this look like maybe in a real life situation? I want to invite you guys to turn with me to Acts chapter 8. And not all of this elements of this story is probably going to happen. But this is kind of how this works. This, to me, kind of walks out in life. It's a story of Philip and the Ethiopian. Now, Philip was one of the disciples. So this is post-resurrection, post-empowerment with the Holy Spirit. Jesus had told him, go around, tell them about me, discipling. Acts chapter 8, verse 28 says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. Excuse me. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Let me just pause right there. I'm going to tell you right now, you're probably not going to be walking around desert roads and hanging out with Ethiopian eunuchs. I get that. But can I paraphrase this to maybe fit our situation? One day, the Spirit of the Lord came and said, Jason, go and look, your neighbor is mowing his yard. Your neighbors are walking their dog down the street. Go along beside them and see what's going on in their life. Hey, that guy that's in the cubicle with you, I know you're probably not getting along with him. Since you're walking along with him anyways, go up beside him and find out what is it that he's dealing with right now. Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. I love it. He didn't say go in there and just, he didn't come in with the placard, right? Jesus, Jesus, turn or burn. He said, just go be near him. Just, again, if I could paraphrase into our own situation, go do life with them for a little bit. And Philip did it. He ran up to the chariot and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as the lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth, and in his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Then the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip, beginning with that very passage of Scripture, told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. If we could follow that prompting of the Spirit, because if we're following and we're walking with Christ, and truth has been revealed to us, and we're in communion with him, and we start to have the mind of Christ and think like him, we will hear him, won't we? We will know truth. And so when he says things like, you need to walk along the chariot of this person, you need to come along the life of this person, find out what's going on. What are they wrestling with right now? And I find that a lot of people, yeah, we're going to talk maybe weather or sports and family and relationships. But there's a lot of times that there's an opening. It moves into that spiritual realm. Because a lot of people, most people deal with that, wrestle with that. And maybe you will be invited. Do you see how that eunuch did that? He invited Philip to come up in there. He invited truth. The truth was revealed when they were in communion with Jesus. First of all, he was in communion with Scripture. He had the prophets. He had the Word of God there. The Word of God is alive. John chapter 1, the Word became flesh. The Word is Jesus. He's in communion already. But it's unclear because he didn't have the Holy Spirit. But here comes Philip. He's in communion with Philip, and Philip brings the Holy Spirit, and it reveals truth. That is our role. It's not uncommon for people to already be exposed to God, to be exposed to his glory and understanding. We read that all the time in the Old Testament. Let the heavens proclaim his glory and his name. It is proclaimed. We already know that. But there's some details. That's what this eunuch, this Ethiopian was dealing with. He had truth presented to him, but he had some details he had to work out. But when someone who's filled with the Holy Spirit, which would be us, if we're in communion with him and we're living life with him, then we can present truth. And then it says the truth compelled the Ethiopian to be baptized. And what is baptism? But a proclamation of his acceptance of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Boy, it burned with him. Now, it doesn't use those words right here, but I can tell the urgency. Look, there is water. What is stopping me? Philip's like, well, this chariot, first of all. Well, let's stop the chariot. Let's get out. In life, what's stopping me from coming into Christ, to joining with him? You need to pause your life a little bit. Let's hold on with some stuff. Let's slow down. And let's join with him. And then it says that he went on his way rejoicing. And what does rejoicing mean? Was it just that, oh, hey, I'm happy? I got a 2-for-1 today at McDonald's? No. He's rejoicing, and he is now in Christ. Truth has been revealed. He is rejoicing in the truth. And it will probably go with him all the way back to Ethiopia. Guys, that's what it looks like. That's what you and I are supposed to be doing. And we won't go chasing down chariots, but interacting with our neighbor, our coworker, others that we are walking down this path. Do you think God just haphazardly told Philip to go down that particular road? Do you think that God puts you on a particular path in your career, in your relationships, in being here at New Hope? Do you think that's just haphazard? Or do you think God is leading you somewhere? Are we walking with Jesus? And he has a place, a destination. And if we will walk along with him, well, he will use us to bring others. Amen? Amen. Boy, it is just a privilege sometimes to walk with him. Sometimes I feel like I get lost. I have to turn around. Like, where'd you go? He's like, I'm right here. You're the one who wandered off. He's right where I left him. And he's ready to just bring me back in and go, okay, let's get going again. I'm excited. I'm excited to see as New Hope keeps moving on. We celebrated 10 years as a church last year. And as we continue to celebrate these next 10 years and the 10 years after that, to see who comes along and walks with us. To see what God has planned in each one of our individual lives and collective lives. Our job is just to keep up and walk with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much. God, I just thank you so much that you allow us to walk with you. Boy, give us the courage, the strength, and God, honestly, sometimes the endurance. We feel sometimes that we can't, but we know that you would not go any faster than we can keep up. So God, I just pray that you would just give us the strength and the courage to do it. And God, may you fill us with your truth and your spirit. May it burn in us that we are just driven, compelled, that we have no choice but to tell others. Not because of us, not because anything good or great about us, but God, because of the goodness and greatness of you. God, if I boast of anything, may we boast of your cross and you cross alone. If I encourage anyone to follow anyone's example, not my own, but you, God, and yours alone. God, I pray for each and every person in this room. May they be filled with that fire. May it burn in them this week. It's in your name I pray. Amen.